Well, good morning, church. Oh, come on, let's say that like we don't got our masks on and we're excited to be here. Good morning, church. Online, good morning, church. All of our campuses, Deep Creek, Ghent, and Town Center, good morning. Such a privilege to be with you. My name is Joel Solomon. If I've not had a chance to meet you yet, I'm normally at our Town Center campus. It's just an honor to be with you here. This is a special weekend for our Ghent campus. Today marks 7 years of their ongoing work. We give them a round of applause. Pastor David, so well done at your campus. Ghent campus, so well done enduring. Pastor David, we thank you for sticking with him. If the 9 a.m., they laugh more at that joke. I thought it was... Well, real quick, before we get into the Word, just have a quick announcement. Our church is a part of a network called One Focus, and One Focus provides some apostolic covering, some spiritual covering, as well as some church resources to every one of these 30 networks. Pastor Dan is the senior director of this, and we have a series of online equippings that's upcoming in the next 4 weeks that are going to talk and deal with what heaven is doing in the current season. How many know the year 2020 has been a bit of a doozy? But yet we believe in the midst of all the shaking that's going on, the Lord is moving, the Lord is operating, the Lord is speaking, and we want to be able to hear and know what heaven is doing in that which is going on in our land. And so over the next 4 weeks, 4 Wednesdays specifically, we have gathered together a group of national pastors and leaders to speak about what they sense God prophetically doing in the upcoming year of 2021, about what God's doing in the nation, what God is doing in the church, what God is doing in the midst of all of the racial unrest that's happening. And then after the election, we'll have a panel of some of our these leaders to talk through what's going on. You see some of them up on the screen now. And so if I can encourage you, can you tune in? This will take the place of our normal Wednesday afternoon midday. And so it'll be on all of our online platforms. Take a minute, tune in the moment or tune in a little bit later. And let's, as a church, hear, discern, and walk together of what God is doing to have its perspective. Well, if you are online with us today, let me encourage you to make sure you talk back with us and talk to us and post and emerge and do all kinds of stuff inside of that text thread. And if you're watching online as a body, can you respond to somebody else who's texting and doing something? And for those of you at our campuses and in this room, I'm kind of tired, so I'm going to need some help throughout this one. So if you got a hanky, you can wave it. If you got some legs, you can run or jump or just don't fall asleep. That would be rather discouraging. Okay. We're going to close off our series on the family and launch into a new series next week, and I get the privilege of helping bridge some of the gap. We've been in this series called We Are Family, and Pastor Dan has walked us through these first 3 weeks of elements of the family unit. The first week he talked about courageous parenting, and the second week he talked about healthy marriages, and then last week he talked about honoring our parents. In fact, that's where he is. Today, he's in South Dakota with his parents helping take care of them. I love the fact that we have a pastor who practices what he preaches. Can I get an amen to that, church? So Pastor Dan in South Dakota, if you get internet all the way up there, we miss you. We love you. Come on back soon. Well, this week we're going to end and launch into this next series at the same time about vibrant singleness. There's this song. It goes, all my single ladies, all my single ladies, all my I'm going to talk about what it means to be vibrant in singleness. And if you're married, you can't check out because you are needed in this conversation as well. Just like in a family, the entire family, if the entire family is going to be vibrant, every part of the family has to be vibrant, right? Like the kids are going to be vibrant only if the parents are vibrant. And the parents are only going to be vibrant if the kids are vibrant. Can I say to you today, married folk and singles, it takes all of us together in order that we would have a house of vibrant singles. And if you're in a space of singleness today, we're going to talk about how the body of Christ can help your life be vibrant. And we're going to talk about how you, in that season, in this moment, can walk out a vibrancy. We're going to look at a particular text that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to pull out four particular principles that I want us to process this morning on this journey. Number one, we're going to talk about in your singleness, you are placed in your singleness. Secondly, we're going to talk about you're honored in your singleness. Thirdly, we're going to talk about how you're needed in your singleness. And fourthly, we're going to talk about how you are cared for in your singleness. If you have your Bibles, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I know the particular text here is not necessarily pertaining to relationship status of married and not married, but we're gonna use it as a platform to uncover this. We'll look at this verse 12 through 27. I'm going to read it real quick, and then we're going to jump into these principles. Paul writing here, 1 Corinthians 12, to the church in Corinth. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, that our presentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. Last section. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. First thing that we see from this text is that you have been placed in singleness. Look at the text that Paul says here. Here in verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Now let's pause for a moment as we talk about this. This word set in the Greek has this idea that you've been picked up from a place and you've been put to a place. Divinely orchestrated from where you were to now where you are. Now, I recognize that here across our campuses and online, that singleness is a really large term. And in fact, there are all kinds of singles that are in the building. There are some that are single and you want to be, and there are some that are single and you don't want to be. There are some single because you're just not yet married. There are some single because you're divorced. There are some single because you've been widowed. There are some older singles that have been walking this out for 20 and 30 years plus. There are some singles that are in your middle age, and there are some that are 19 and 20 and 21, and you're just beginning this journey of singleness. And may I also add that there are some singles in the house that because of same gender attraction, you have chosen to walk a celibate life in the context of how biblical marriage and sexuality looks. And I want to honor all of those singles that are walking in no matter what space that you are. And I believe no matter where you are on that journey of singleness, that there are some things that we have to see in order that our vibrant singles can vibrantly be single. I totally missed the part. Could you go back to the very beginning slide of my boy, Owen? The reason why he's there, you see him there. He's got his hands like just all in the peanut butter jar. I walk out for just a half a second. He pulls the peanut butter down, and his hands are all in there, right? Like we know this from the Lord, that he made two things, dark chocolate and peanut butter, and he called it good. Online, can you just hashtag a peanut butter for me? Let me know you are with me on that, right? But my son was like, I'm all in on this peanut butter. And I literally pulled out his hands. It's dripping peanut butter down. And the reason why my son can live his best life now is because he's all into the jar of peanut butter that he's in. Because he divinely, purposefully set his hands inside of that peanut butter. I want to suggest this is the same idea that Paul is referencing here when he says you've been divinely set in a place. Go back to that slide if you could. Thank you. Now, number one, how many know that you didn't get to choose the family you got set in. Some of you may have wanted to have choose it, but you can't, right? God divinely orchestrated what womb you're going to be put in and what womb you're going to come out of, right? Before the beginning of time, he said, you're going to be in this family. And in this particular context, Paul is talking about a local body and a local church. It is not by accident online. It is not by accident in any one of our campuses that you have been, that you have walked into the campus that you're in. You didn't by accident find your way to New Life Church. You were divinely orchestrated, led by the Spirit of God to be in this place in this time. So there's a location, divine setting. But more than that, in every layer I think we can add to this, in every moment of every season, of every event, God has purpose in it. It's real quiet in here online. I hope you caught that. In every moment, there is a divine setting of purpose that we can have. And if we aren't willing to look at our hearts and say, I've been divinely set in this moment, here and now, I can't get out of that moment everything that God has for me. Whether it's a job issue, whether it is a doctor's report, no matter what it is, right, that God has divinely orchestrated a moment set in that place. And unless we go all into that, we can't merge out, we can't pull out all that we have. And I want to say to our singles today, this truth that marriage is not the end-all be-all to God's work in your life. It isn't as if you're single and God isn't doing anything, and then you get married and now he starts doing stuff. That perspective robs you of what he could do. I know that for many, the journey of singleness is really hard, and it's a painful conversation. And for that, I want to say, as we'll look at in a moment, I'm sorry you've had to navigate those, particularly those who want to be married and aren't, but that doesn't remove the idea that God's doing something in you in the midst of that singleness. Can I suggest this to you? That heaven's primary aim is in each moment is about a spiritual status, not a relational status. I'm going to say it again for the singles on this side of the house. The primary aim of God's work in your life is not so your Instagram and Facebook status shifts. The primary aim of God in your life is a relational is a spiritual one, not a relationship one. That maybe you've been journeying this for 20 and 30 years. Can I say this to your heart? You didn't miss your moment. It's not like you've missed God because you're single, young, middle, or old, that God is doing something in your heart right now, and the chief aim of your life is not to get married. The chief aim of God is not to get you attached to somebody. The chief aim of God is to get you to look like someone. You see, the Great Commission isn't about getting people married. And the Great Commandment isn't about getting you to shift your marital status. The Great Commission is about forming Christ-likeness in you and then moving you to form Christ-likeness in others. And the Great Commandment is that you would love God in this spiritual fervor deeply. And both of them are about joining God in his process of this. And singles, specifically to you, I want to say that heaven is doing something deep in your heart. And can you see that he's placed you in this moment and he's placed you with purpose in this moment? Even if maybe you don't understand why. Can you honor the work of God in you in this moment without needing the answers to why you're in it? Online, can I just say this to you? I feel like there's someone watching online right now that you have been asking this question of why. Why? I do this all the time. I pull out my 3-year-old Owen. Why, Jesus? And what I found is that he don't ask the answer to the question of why. He's like silent Jesus. He's like mime Jesus. That's what I think. The thing is it's not that he's not talking. He's just not having the same conversation I am. So I start asking this question, what are you doing in me now in this? And, ooh, Pastor Manuela, he got stuff to say. Can you honor what God is doing in you now, singles, in order to mine out everything that he has without needing to have the question of why? And if you can, if you can shift that sense of what he's doing, if you can say, Lord, you've divinely placed purpose in this divinely placed singleness, you will see a flourishing come to your heart that cannot be uncovered otherwise. You've been set in the place of singleness for a purpose. We all right in here? Online, you doing okay with me? First, you've been placed in. Secondly, you are honored in your place of singleness. Look what Paul continues to push us into. And those members of the body which we think, go ahead and say think. You'll see it there. Which we think to be less honorable. On these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts, greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division or no schism in the body. I know of nothing that creates more division in a body than dishonor. Because you can't be one with the very people whom you dishonor. By what you post, by what you say, by your actions, by anything possible. When we demean another person, we cannot be one with them. And here Paul is pushing us to say this. You need to look at other people the same way God looks at them. This word think that he uses here is this Greek word to be of the opinion or to suppose. I love this. He's saying here you have an opinion of someone, but it isn't fact. Come on, singles. Come on, married folk. You've got an opinion of someone, and it isn't fact. Here's the reality, is sometimes in our culture, and sometimes in even church culture, and sometimes well-meaning mamas, spiritual mamas and fathers, we try to convey things, but what ends up happening is we make the single people of our congregation feel less than honored. And singles, can I say this to you? If someone has ever made you feel less than because of your singleness, it doesn't mean you are. It doesn't mean you are. Their perception isn't your reality. Their perception of what your singleness is and isn't and what it means and doesn't mean isn't your reality. That if we're going to see singles in the house become vibrant, married folk, we've got to learn to value them and honor them in the manner that God does. Look at what Paul does here with this text. I find it so fascinating in verse 15. He says this, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Look what's happening with this. The foot isn't talking to the hand here. The foot is talking to itself. The eye is talking to itself. The ear is talking to itself. And what happens in a space sometimes where marriage is so elevated and sometimes singleness isn't honored for the journey that they're on, we cause single people to talk about themselves in a manner that isn't Bible. Singles, I stand before you today and say, I am sorry on behalf of every church mother. On behalf of every church dad, on behalf of every pastor, on behalf of that person who posted that thing to you, doesn't know your story, doesn't know your journey, isn't praying for you, and made you feel less than the honored, valued member of this body that you are, on behalf of them, I say I'm sorry. We cannot afford for a moment to entertain any thoughts about ourselves that are not God's thoughts about us. And if our words, for any reason, and actions have made you feel that way, I stand before you today and I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for making you feel that your relationship status is your highest aim. I'm sorry for making you feel that life will begin once you're married, for demeaning the journey that you're on and have been on. Sorry for not taking into account, as we'll look at in a moment, your perspective and your feelings and your senses. And family, if we're going to see our singles walk in vibrancy, married people online and here in this room, we've got to begin to honor them. And in that honoring, healing transpires. I'm also sorry that in that same conversation, we've not elevated your current season to match the divine potential that God has for it. By our lack of honoring where you are, we've hindered your own ability to walk into the fullness that God has for that season and that purpose. So if I may, online on this campus, if this is you online and this is touching you some kind of way, can you just comment? We want to pray with you. If this is in any scope of your journey has been felt this way, hear this. Let these words bring healing to your heart. We're sorry. We're sorry. Healing begins with honoring. At the time of Christ's coming, those who were thought to be most acceptable to God were the ones, advance the slide please, were the ones, no, I'm sorry, go back. One more please. There we go. The time of Christ's coming, the ones who were thought to be the most acceptable to God were male, or the freedmen and women were the married and the Jewish. The Gentiles were despised. The female enslaved, they had no value, and the single people in the society had no place. But Jesus ushers in this kingdom where that there's no distinction among earthly measures, and every person is equally invited in him, and every person finds their identity, their value, and fulfillment because they've come to them. Today we partook of the Lord's Supper. If you're married, you didn't get more of the Lord's body and blood than if you were single. And if you're single, you didn't get less of the nourishment of the Eucharist table. All are called to come to the table on equal footing, with equal grace, with equal mercy, and here and now we say we honor your journey in this space at our table, at the Lord's table, that you might know your identity, value, and fulfillment. You are valued. Single people, you are valued. I say this to every online at every campus, you are valued. We honor you in your singleness. Not only are you placed in, not only are you honored in, but you are needed in our family. Paul continues this push for us here in verse 21. He says, now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, that I have no need of you. Look at what Paul is doing here. He's pushing us to go beyond just honoring and go into a place of recognizing need, right? So there's a difference here between me just saying I honor you and me saying I also need you. There's a difference here between us acknowledging that there's a life flow of ministry between us. There's a life flow of me to you and you to me. That is different than simply saying I value you. That is now acknowledging that I have need of you. That in fact, married folk, there's something in us that need the single people of our family to feed to us. And in this day, in this age, in this time, can I say to every Holy Spirit-filled, single, believing believer in Jesus Christ, we have deep need of you. Deep need in four specific areas. Number one, your singleness is a ministry that needs to be released into our family, into our church, into our society. There's something unique about your singleness that you can offer to the body of Christ that a married person can't. You've got to begin to see yourself in that light. There's a way you can release finance. There's a way you can release time. There's a way you can release an anointing of God. You understand in part his near presence because you don't have the marital status. that a married person doesn't, right? COVID has touched single people differently than COVID has touched married folk. And you understand the Emmanuel, God with us, in a way that a married person with kids doesn't understand. And we need you, the ministry of your presence in our congregation. It's a ministry that needs to come out. It's a perspective that needs to be heard. We need to hear how you're seeing and feeling and sensing. Not at a negation of what the married people sense and feel, but in part, in harmony with it. We need to hear what you're getting in the prayer closet with the Lord, because it's unique even to your station of life. I speak to that mama who's the lady who's endured 60 years of singleness, and you wanted to be married at age 20, 25, you have a knowledge of the presence of God that I don't have. And I say, I need to sense that. I need to hear that. I need that life flow. To the person who's divorced and you've walked through forgiveness as a single person in a manner that I haven't walked through, we need that. See, your presence needs to be felt. We need you in our house. And lastly, I want to say to this part, your singleness is a discipleship that needs to be emulated. All right, online and here in the room, can we have some real talk for a moment? It's quiet in here. Can you tell me, just do a bunch of emojis in the feed to help me know you're with me? Okay, real quick, real talk. As a married guy, I can have a sexual, pure relationship and release with my wife that a single person can't. And they've got to, if they're going to walk out purity, if they're going to walk out righteousness, that is something that I don't have to endure, right? Scripture's real clear. Sexual ethic is this: male, female, in marriage, end of story. No exceptions to that. And for the singles in our house, you are exhibiting the fruit of self-control in a manner that a whole bunch of other people need to understand. I know some married folk who need to have better self-control than some single folk do. And this is something that you as single people are walking through that needs to be honored, that needs to be acknowledged, and I would say needs to be needed in our congregation. Can I speak for a moment to every 25-year-old male who's walking this outright? Our 16 and 17-year-old males need you to model for them what purity looks like. For every 23-year-old female, for every 45-year-old female who's pure and chaste and walking this out rightly, our middle school girls need to hear you speak to them about how this works. We need your ministry. All of our campuses have morning prayer. And my alarm goes off at 5:15 to get morning prayer. My wife says, get up, you're going to prayer. Come on. For those of you who are sleeping in your bed by yourself, you don't have that Avery to kick you out. And yet you get up out of love for the Lord and you come to prayer. We need that. We need it. It's a ministry to be released into our congregation. Can you get any men in the house? Singles, we doing all right? All two of you. Lastly, you've been cared for. Placed in, honored in, needed in, and cared for. Look what Paul pushes us to. Learn a thing, can you come? But God composed the body that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. The purpose of the body is to care for each part where there are family and relational gaps. The hand will take care of the foot differently if the hand recognizes the hand and the foot are connected. And it's true. By the very nature of being single, there are relational and family dynamics that you don't have that a married couple does. There's no denying it. But the purpose of us together is that we provide these spaces where now we can cover and make up for it. was 23 years old. I moved here from Michigan, where I grew up. 17 years ago, I walked in the back of a New Life service at Indian River High School. I sat by myself. I sat up the upper left where all the nursing mamas were. Shortly thereafter, a family named Joel and Rhonda Pulser adopted me. For a year, they took me in. We'd go to church, and we'd go to her house. She makes the meanest chicken enchiladas I've ever tasted in my entire life. We'd go to movies together. I got the privilege of scraping and painting and staining their deck. Notice what I said there? I was a part of a family. Not biological, but spiritual. My wife, in like measure, when she was at William & Mary, where she went to school, came from a family, came from a dynamic that she just needed to see a strong family woman of God, spirit-filled, who knew how to mother and teach and walk out rightly. And her life trajectory was altered by a woman named Kay Chuckney, who took her in. By a woman, one of our here at the earth, Ruthie Hill, took her in, showed her how to walk, taught her the things of the Spirit. Over the scope of my life, my time here, 17 years, I've had probably 30 to 40 young adult singles come in my life. And we have grabbed them and pulled them in to our church. And they've eaten, and I'm pretty certain that my kids like them more than me. And we did this initially because we wanted to provide ministry to the singles who needed it. But something happened. Soon my soul was being fed by the very singles I thought I was supposed to feed. Somehow my kids were becoming better kids because there were singles around them, not other parents. You see, this is the beauty of the body of Christ. This is the beauty of how this works, that the marrieds reach out to the singles and the singles reach out to the marrieds. And in that space, there is a life flow that comes back and forth. You see, there is a shift when this happens from simply ministering to receiving ministry from. See, the Bible says the Lord takes the solitary and the lonely. Book of Psalms says, and he places them in the family of God. As we finish this, I want to give a charge to every married person in this house, at all of our campuses and online. This is your charge in the next 30 days. You have to find a single person and invite them to your house. If you got to come on Sunday night at Naos to find a whole bunch of single folk, do it. 6 o'clock tonight on Sunday. You can get your homework assignment done today. And single folk, if you get invited to dinner, you have to say yes. And married folk, it can't be to set up your son or daughter to get married. It's simply because you want to provide some ministry, and I promise you what will happen is yourself will get ministered to. Can we be a family of God, marrieds and singles together, honoring, loving, needing, and caring for each other, church? Oh, come on, church. Can we be that kind of family? I want to release all of our campuses at this time to their campus pastors. Would you stand to your feet and pray?
Amazing service, and I hope that you were blessed by it. And this was our last week talking about we are family. And I want you to know that that means you. You are part of God's family. You're part of the New Life family. I don't care if you're single or married. You have kids, you have no kids, you're older, you're younger. It doesn't matter. There's a place for you, not only in the family of God, but in our New Life family. Connect with us. Don't forget to fill out a connection card so that we know how to pray for you, so that we know that you are tuning in every week and are part of our community. Don't forget also to join our Facebook page. This is where you can keep up with us. You're gonna get devotionals every so often. Most importantly, it helps us to know that you're saying, I wanna be part of this family. Church, we love you so much, and I want to bless you before I send you off. So if you want to open your hands right where you are and receive this benediction before you go. Father, I just thank you for your sons and daughters. I thank you that we are part of the family of God. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and united by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful and powerful sign and wonder to the world around us. So, Father, I bless your people today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to walk in confidence in their station in life, that they would not make any apology for who you've made them to be, but instead walk tall and confident that they are yours and you are theirs. I bless them, Lord God, to be a shining example in every sphere of influence that they find themselves. I declare over them that they are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. They are the head and not the tail, the beloved of God Most High. And today they can walk in victory as part of the family of God. I say all these things in the name of Jesus. If you receive them, shout amen right where you are. God bless. Have an amazing rest of your day, an amazing week. And we will see you right here every day at midday. And of course, next Sunday, invite a friend to watch with you online. God bless. See you later.